In the world full of podcasts, he's the undisputed heavyweight champion of hot takes, an Auburn sports homer, master of the boog, and message board legend. Get your buttons buttoned and your hats flattened, because the Top Button Podcast is about to kick off, and you don't want to miss your courtside seat. Now, here's your host, Charlie Five.
Yes, sir. We're back for the second time today, and we have a practice recap episode. We've done this after every live practice, except for the one on Saturday. Couldn't get that one done. Had some family stuff going on, but we're going to try to do this today. Going to do it tomorrow as well. Open up the floor to questions, and I got a little stuff I want to go over to begin with, and then we're going to turn it over to the chat and have some fun. So I want to kind of give you guys an idea of, like, when we get to go to practice, what that's typically like, okay? Because something happened today that was a surprise to all of us, and it was really, really cool. So typically, at least the last several practices that we've gone to, that practices are broken up into periods. So, like, period one, it may be a certain form of drills, period two, period three, and so on and so forth. Typically, we've only gotten the first three periods. It's good stuff. You get to see some really good individual drills, and you get to get an idea of, like, where the pecking order is as far as some of the players go and positions go, and that's what we've been sharing mostly. And usually, you go in there, hey, we're going to have periods one through three again, and, you know, and that's it. And then you get player interviews afterwards. So we go in there today, and it's just a regular old day. You know, you watch them warm up, you watch them, get ready, and then the horn blows, and then the periods start. Okay, so we're out there. Period one is just like any other period that we've ever had. Period two, about halfway through, the horn blows. A horn blows, and you hear Golish yell, defense on the sideline, offense on the sideline, and we're going ones versus ones. And we're kind of looking around like, are we supposed to see this? This is not on the schedule. Like, what do we do? Last year, under Hugh Freeze, they had this period that they called Tiger Ball, okay? And it was period five every single time. And when period five came along, we were always instructed, take the cameras down, no pictures, no videos. You can talk about it afterwards, but no videos and things like that, because this is, you know, this is ones versus one stuff. This is stuff you don't want out there necessarily on film. Now, I want to give some props to Auburn's SID, football SID department, because they are freaking on top of things, like, all the time. Like, we know what the expectations are. And I think they have very good guidelines as far as keeping us in line and keeping everything, like, at running a tight ship, and I respect that. It was pretty clear that no one knew that this was going to happen. It was pretty clear that Golish called an audible in the middle of period two and decided they were about to have, like, a little mini scrimmage. And I think there was a lot of people that had cameras up filming, you know, the drills and things like that. But then it's like, oh my gosh, like, we weren't prepared for this. Like, no one let us know about this. Like, what do we do about this? So there was a little bit of pandemonium, but yeah, we did get to see some ones on ones, and that was absolutely incredible. So I'm going to kind of walk through who the starting lineups were. I was on the defensive side. So that was today. Zach took offense. I took defense. But when the first team defense ran out there, pretty much everybody you would imagine was in the starting lineup that we've talked about from the beginning, except for Cody Sigler. I don't think it meant anything. I think it was just, he's been a little bit banged up. So, like, there's just no reason to throw him out there right now. He's good. He's good, guys. So it's pretty much chalk across the board. You know, Deshaun Womack, Jared Smith, Dallas Walker, and then Buddy Mathis went in first. Your two linebackers, Melendez and Xavier. And then you had Blake Woodby, Fred Gaskin, Sylvester Smith-Reed, Champ Anthony, and Gavin Jenkins out there. And then he had your first team offense. And then they ran like an actual scrimmage. So like the very first play, they did a little a run play for very minimal gain, 2 or 3 yards potentially. Second play, threw a slant, Byram threw a slant to, I believe, Keyshawn Singleton, and it was hot. It was on the money, but Singleton almost acted like he wasn't really prepared for it, and he dropped it. It went through his hands. And then the big thing happened. They drop back, and Byram looks off the safe. So you got two deep safeties. He looks the safety off, and he throws an absolute dime to Jeremiah Koger for about a 70-yard touchdown. And it was electric. It was funny, too, because at that point in time, I was on the sideline of the defense. So, like, it literally was – if there's ever video released of this, you're going to see me in that catch, like almost in that catch. I could have made a play on the ball. I had a chance to make a play, but I didn't. Beautiful throw, beautiful catch, and just a really cool atmosphere around it. And I think the biggest takeaway that I took from today's practice is that's not something that I think happened a ton in spring. I think the defense pretty much had their way with the offense almost day in and day out. And I said, you know, one thing I wanted to hear from the scrimmage, I think I said this on multiple shows, hey, I want to hear that the offensive line is getting some push. I wanted to hear that, you know, the offense is making some big plays. Byram's connecting on some big passes. These wide receivers are able to get separation, because that just has not been the case. Everybody is very, very concerned about the offensive line, especially after that video went out and like all the internet offensive line coaches started having their way with it. It was a longer developing route, blocked really well, and he put the ball on the money. I mean, there's no defense for the throw that he made to Jeremiah Koger. So that was obviously super, super fun. I'm glad that Golish allowed us to see that. They also did twos. Tia was the second quarterback, had a good first down completion over the middle to Brian Williams Jr. They got the ball to Deshaun Spencer in space a couple of times, and he made some things happen after the catch. I think all in all, you just saw the offense show a lot more promise than the messaging, not messaging, I guess than the vibes around the offense have been since spring. So I left practice today feeling much, much better about the potential of this offense. Saw a little bit of offensive line versus defensive line, one versus ones. And it was exactly what you want to see, because they both sides were winning battles. There was some offensive linemen winning some one-on-one reps. There were some defensive linemen winning some one-on-one reps. It was really, really good competition. And I think that is exactly what you want to see when it comes to, you know, these type of practices. Let's see what all we had. Saw Bryson Washington get a couple of carries. None of the running backs really broke out. Like, there wasn't like a really big long run. The most explosive play was obviously the touchdown, but there were some other really good passes to move the chains, which I thought were nice to see. Durkin was not happy with the touchdown. And it's funny because of all of the AL.com articles out talking about how soft, in quotation marks, Auburn is for staying at a spa. DJ Durkin let the defense know, and he called him soft. He's like, I can't believe y'all just gave up a 70-yard touchdown. We're so soft, like that kind of thing, which is incredible. Matthew Smith said he heard Sigler didn't lose a rep in ones versus ones. Yeah, I would say of everybody, like there was a lot of back and forth except for Cody Sigler. He's a mauler. He lives in the backfield. he is a matchup nightmare along the defensive line. So absolutely, he did not. I didn't see him lose a rep. 10-time champ says at least our coach isn't allegedly telling the defense to take it easy on our transfer quarterback this year. Love this coaching staff. No, not only were they not taking it easy on him, they heard about it from their defensive coaches. Tim Banks was not happy with the secondary. Durkin was obviously not happy with the pass rush and what he got out of his linebacker crew, because he definitely let them have it. That's really good to hear. This offense, man, if they can score on this defense, there's not many that I don't think they can't score on. So that's obviously really good stuff. I'm going to hit up some questions, so definitely y'all get these in, and I will make sure to try to get to as many as we can, and we can go as long as we want. How did the running backs look in pass protection? I don't remember any sacks, so that's good from a pass protection standpoint. It was really hard to see. It was really hard on the angle that we had to be able to really lock in the running backs in pass protection. But I'll just say this. The touchdown pass required a pretty stressful load, maybe the right word. It put the offensive line in a stressful position, and they held their own. So was there a running back involved with that? I don't know. The only running back pass blocking stuff I think I shared on was on Saturday, and we talked about it on a couple of the lives, but I think Omar is very, very solid in pass protection, and that's going to help him continue to make waves and sort of make his way onto the field. Barn Booster said, what happened today that would concern you if you saw it again tomorrow? Man, that's a good question. I would say if they're continuing to light the defense up down the field, I don't think that's the case. I would say, okay, maybe we got something that we need to look at, but I don't know, man. Today was sort of one of those practices where it just felt like you saw a lot of the things that you would like to see. You saw both sides kind of have their wins and both sides kind of have their losses. So that's really good. What's the thoughts on the offensive line? I mean, I'm telling you, I feel exponentially better about the offensive line leaving practice today than maybe I have since I've been going to practice, especially with a new staff since spring. I thought they did a really good job. I mean, you can't say much more about, you know, an offensive line when you can, you know, protect and score a big touchdown down the field. You're doing a pretty good job. And if you can get some first downs with a second team and you're winning some of those one-on-one battles, Jacob Strand was in at left guard today. That's been, you know, Derek Plaz territory. Jacob Strand has been getting a lot of praise. And it's like, I think they're just trying to find where he can get on the field the easiest because he's a good player. I mean, this guy had starting reps, you know, in Division I, you know, Power 5 football. So he's obviously got some talent. He just was injured all spring. And now that he's full speed, I mean, he's played a little backup left tackle. Now he's, you know, running with the ones at starting guard. I just think there's enough there for this team to be good with the right guidance and development. I think there's enough there. I don't think you got to have a bunch of first-round picks. You just got to have a good scheme, a good culture, and those guys that are ready to work and get after it. And I think Auburn has those. So there's still some time to see how this thing develops, but I left today feeling exponentially better. Kyle, I need to know who are the top three hulking super teens, sophomore and younger only. Got it. Well, Elijah Melendez is got to be up at the top. He's a sophomore. He's bulked up big time. He looks super impressive. Corey Wells is a monster. He didn't play much today, or he didn't play any today. He's still kind of rehabbing from an injury. But he's a monster. He's huge. I mean, he's 6'6", so and over 300 pounds. Like, he's really big, true freshman. His brother looks really good from a physicality standpoint. Jacquez Wilkes is super impressive. Let's just go with those for right now. How does Simmons and Rammel look? So they both were great in the period that we saw. Rammel got dinged up a little bit right there towards the end and had to come off. I think he's fine. I think there's some pictures floating around of him on a bike or stationary bike. I don't think there's anything to be concerned about. I saw Simmons do two reps back-to-back against, I think it was Jared Smith. It's either Jared Smith or Deshaun Womack. I can't quite remember. And he won one and lost one, which is like exactly what you want. But I think they're going to be fine. If they can stay healthy, I think they're going to be fine. What was the route Koger ran, and was it a contested catch? It was a straight go, like off the line. He beat Blake Woodby off the line. Blake was in his hip pocket, but the throw was so perfect. The throw was so perfect that there was no way he could have defended it, even if he was – I mean, he was there. There was no way he could defend it. It was perfect. Like, there's sometimes they're just not a defense for the perfect throw, and that was the perfect throw. So he beat Blake Woodby, and then Blake tried to make a play on the ball and, you know, obviously didn't because the throw was perfect, and then he couldn't secure the tackle, and Koger was gone after that. So straight go route, little shake off the line, and dropped it in a bucket. Let's see here. Does it look like Byram has a more succinct throwing motion to you this fall camp? Guys, the throwing motion is exactly the same. There's nothing that's changed about his throwing motion. There's nothing that's going to change about his throwing motion. Like, that is what it is at this point. All I can tell you is this: the ball gets there in a hurry. The ball is spinning, and he seems dialed. He's very, very accurate. Haven't seen him missed a ton. Haven't seen him missed a ton really at all camp. Matthew Smith, did Strand play better than Plaz in your opinion? I don't know that I can answer that. Like, I think they're clearly Strand is in there for a reason, so he must have be playing a little bit better, but like from what we've seen, it's hard to really tell a difference between the two. I just think Strand is just working, man. It doesn't necessarily have to mean a bad thing for Derek Plaz. You just got guys coming on. So I can't say from what I've seen, one is necessarily better than the other, but Strand was in there, I believe, when they scored the big touchdown. Who had a quietly important today that nobody is going to put in a fall camp headline? Boy, that's tough. Let me think about that. All the guys that made plays today, Arliss Boardingham, probably. That's who I think I'd go with. I don't think he recorded any stats. Had some really good blocks, and he's clearly the number two tight end. And I think he did some good things. I think he did some good things that are going to go a long way towards him getting on the field. So I think I'd go with him. Outside of that one big play, how did Byram look good? He looked great. Looks great to me. When they're throwing against air, I mean, he's pretty much on the money. Again, the ball comes out really, really nice. It ain't wobbly. It's not sailing. It's also nose down a lot of times too, which, you know, sometimes quarterbacks can have some weird spin and the ball just floats. It's driving spiral. He just looks like he has total command. And I think the people around him can feel that too. Let's see here. Skinner is at right guard. He got the wrong end of Cody Sigler multiple times. But yeah, he is at right guard. Anyone stepping up at the edge position? Yeah, I mean, it's definitely Jared Smith's room. I know you're going to say, well, how'd they score a touchdown then? There's got to be some give and take. You know, it kind of goes back to if just because the offense scores does not mean necessarily that the defense is, you know, got issues or the pass rush has issues. I know they do need that guy to be – they need that franchise guy to kind of emerge. And from whatever everything we see and hear, Jared Smith is, you know, on pace to potentially be that guy. Let's see. Let's keep going. Miss Kathy, do you have an updated season record prediction after today's practice? Yeah, we're going. They're not losing. They're not losing. It's undefeated. Now, I think I'm still around. I think I'm still around 8-4. I think that's definitely on the table. Pat says, any place today where Byram could have broke off a long run, but it got blown dead? No, because they scored so fast. They scored in three plays, so that was pretty much it. And then they kind of went to second team after that. But I think it clearly when those opportunities arise, you know, he's going to be able to rip off that. That happened in the spring game. There were multiple times in the spring game that I thought he could have gone for 30, 40, 60 yards for, you know, big gains. And those opportunities will present themselves. This could be fun. Hire, fire, buyout, DeBoer, Oates, Brian Harsin, go. Okay. Let's see. I would hire Nate Oates, even though he's a scumbag. I think I'd fire DeBoer, and I'd still buy out Brian Harsin. How about that? Is that a good one? Let me know what you think about. Let me know your thoughts on that. I don't like hiring Nate Oates, but if I got to hire one out of that, I think that's what I would have gone with. I'm gonna try to go through some of these green names and get some questions. Can the Baylor game get here soon enough? I wish we were playing them tomorrow. Felt like today was a really, really good practice. Let me go back down to the bottom. Did Champ get in? Yeah, Champ was in on the – he was in on the touchdown. He was at nickel. No. He was at safety, actually. They're moving him all over the place. This is a good question. Who's going to end up starting at DB when all is said and done? Okay. So I think your corners are going to be Gavin Jenkins and Andre Jordan. I would be shocked at this point in time if it's anybody other than those two as far as your corners on the outside. Nickel is where it gets tricky. I feel like nickel in the field safety and boundary safety, like Tim Banks said yesterday, are interchangeable. And I feel like Eric Winters is going to be one of those, like 100%. I think right now, Champ's probably going to be one of those. And then Sylvester Smith-Reed, I think, is going to be the other one. Where they go, I don't know. Fred Gaskin's making some noise. New boy still, you know, coming back from injury. He's definitely going to have a say in everything. And then Caleb Harris is going to have a say in it. Think about those names I just mentioned and how deep that room is. It's crazy, man. I had, like, my show this morning was that I linebackers are far and away the best position group on the team, but that dang safety room is, I think, going to give them a run for their money. I know it's less important, but how did Tia do? Looked good. He moved the chains with a really tough throw over the middle. And he kind of placed it where nobody could get it, but his receiver, Brian Williams Jr., made a really good catch and kind of slid down for the first down. Was really sharp getting the ball out quick to Deshaun Spencer a couple of times where he can make some plays after the catch. I think he threw three or four passes, and I think all of them were caught. So he obviously looked really, really good to me. I mean, he's pretty solid. He's been solid. Good question there. Let's see here. How many running backs did we play and in what order? Okay, remember, this period was really, really short. Okay, so it was not like there was a lot of snaps to go around. But it's Cobb, Omar, and I did see Bryson Washington get some snaps, and I saw Tay Meadows get some snaps. So I think it was pretty much that order. Cobb, Omar, Washington, and then Tay Meadows. Kale Ellis absolutely needs to start somewhere on the offensive line. He was second team center when they went in. But he's good, man. He's good. Let me keep rolling through here. Were there live punting drills? No, there were not. Everybody says it's Hudson's job to lose, though, as far as punting goes. Does the barn have some game day plans this year, like meetups or tailgate things? We're working on some things. And I noticed somebody said something about the Bucket Shop Cafe in Atlanta pregame or Barncast. Still working on those two, and I promise you we'll get those details out very, very, very soon. Let's see here. I see people reacting to me saying to hire Oates. I mean, you got to hire an Oates out of those guys, right? He's had the most success. He's had the most success of any of those. Let's see here. Is Womack a top tier in the SEC in your eyes? Right now, I would say no. Only because you haven't really had a chance to prove it yet. But he looks really good out there. He has all the potential to be. But I'll just say right now, probably not. Let's see. Let's keep rolling. I see people asking about Alvin. I just didn't see him do much today. I don't know what to think about that. Kale had one bad game against Kentucky. He was solid the other games. Why are fans down on him? I don't think people are down on him, are they? Didn't somebody just say he needed to start somewhere? He's all SEC freshman last year. I think he's a good player. I think he's going to be a great player. I remember Dirk was rotating a lot of players last year to gain experience, which I like. Do you think he stays on that path this year? I agree. I think so. And I think it's because he's got so many toys to play with, particularly in that secondary. Yeah, I think there's going to be young guys. If there's young guys that can step up, that may be a good question. Like, who are some of those dudes that could maybe, you know, play early and make an impact? You know, could he figure out a way to get Jacquez Wilkes on the field and use his skill set? There's just a bunch of dudes that I think could play in that rotation, that two deep, and I definitely see him being having a similar year where you're playing a lot of folks. I don't know about 110% on Alex McPherson, but I think he's about as healthy as he could be, healthy as he's been. Look good. I saw him kick a 50 plus yarder today, so really good. I'd love to know from a defensive guy who played last year what his thoughts on this year's offense. It would say a lot about what this year's team is capable of. I'd love to know from a defensive guy who played last year. Oh, that's a good question. Okay. So, yeah, I'm with you. That's actually a really good question that I'll try to make sure if I get an opportunity to ask a defensive player, basically say, hey, you had to defend this offense. You had to defend the offense last year, and then you're defending this new offense. Which one gives you more fits? Like, what do you think about it? The difference from a difference standpoint. I like that. That actually is a good question. Riddick or Diaz? I'm going Diaz right now. Let's see here. This is a good question. Who's going to be our return specialist? So I know in spring, for punts, they wanted it to be Christian Neptune. And he's getting back healthy, and he is electric. But to be totally honest, we haven't seen that yet. We haven't seen any punt return drills or kickoff return drills. So I have to do some digging on that, but I'll get back to you. I'll get back to you on that. Do you think we can get Riddick into like an Arvell Reese role where he's kind of a Swiss Army knife linebacker with him being athletic as he is and as good of a pass rusher? You got to do something. I think they're going to have to do something like that. He's too skilled and he's too good not to be on the field. So I know he played that role where it was just like get him on the field and, you know, just go get the quarterback his freshman year. Wouldn't shock me if that was a role that was created, or if it's not, like, they need to, like, at least there's got to be some situations where you can just put him out there and put him out there and, like, let his athleticism take over. Andre Jordan and Pleasant are probably the starters. I don't necessarily agree with that. Would you have Pleasant returning kicks? Somebody already asked. How do you not have him as a kickoff returner? He's one of the best in the SEC. I don't see him, though, currently as one of the other starters on the other side of Andre Jordan Jr. So, you gotta put him back there. You got to put him back there returning kickoffs. What are we hiring for? Recruiting coordinator. Oh. It was a – oh, that. This is good. What are we hiring for? This is back to the hire, fire, and buyout thing. The recruiting quarter hire is Harsin. The running game coordinator is DeBoer, and the ethics coordinator is Oates. That's hilarious. Because obviously Harsin did not recruit. DeBoer can't run the ball, and Nate Oates has questionable ethics at best. Oh, that's good. That's good stuff. Let's see here. Besides Koger, did any other wide receivers impress? Deshaun Spencer impressed with the twos. Brian Williams Jr. impressed. I watched some of the stuff like after the fact where they were just throwing on air, and Keyshawn made a really pretty catch. It was kind of like a back shoulder where he had to adjust his body. That was a really pretty catch. Chaz had a really pretty over-the-shoulder catch. I think those guys can play, man. I think they're gonna be able to play. Let's see here. Riddick reminds me of Robinson Therese. I know that name hasn't been said in years. It's an interesting comparison. Threezy's quite a bit smaller than Riddick, but it is similar that Therese was an athlete. He could be exposed at times, but he was an athlete that just seemed to have a knack for getting to the football. So I can get, if that's what you mean by that, I think I can definitely see that. Definitely see that comparison. What do you think the Alabama media machine would post as far as a headline from today's practice? Oh, it would have to be something about, you know, DJ Durkin's defense being terrible. No surprise. Durkin blows his second chance, gives up big play at Auburn practice. Something like that. That was a great Village Vice episode, by the way. If y'all aren't paying attention to that, it's fantastic. Let's see. Good comp for Riddick is Harold Perkins Jr. Maybe, but that's the kind of role I'm talking about. Like, it's just see ball, go get ball kind of thing. Who do I have starting opposite of Dre? Gavin Jenkins right now. There's no question about it. Gavin Jenkins, number 21. Remember it. Sounds like no superstars at wide receiver. Just solid contributors. I mean, they call Chaz an NFL receiver. So, you know, do with that whatever you will. With, you know, whatever. You probably don't have that guy that's, you know, probably don't have that first round draft pick type guy, that Jeremiah Smith or, you know, Cam Coleman, but just a bunch of solid, like you said, a bunch of solid dudes that work together as a unit and not a bunch of individuals and can make things happen. Are we as soft as people say we are? We're so soft, dude. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous how soft this team is. Does this year seem more intense from years past to you? Without a doubt. Now, intensity doesn't necessarily equate to wins, but if you're asking if there's a difference in intensity level, I mean, it goes so far as, I mean, even from the media standpoint, it's intense. Like, you don't want to be in the way. There's a lot of stuff going on. Like, it's not just kind of like sit back and relax and watch practice. Like, you kind of got to keep your head on a swivel. Like, everything about it and every aspect is more intense. Prediction for sack leader in 2026. That's a good one. I'm probably still going to go with X, Xavier Atkins. Why not? He killed it last year. Is Bryce Kane starting? Not that I can see right now. I think you're starting slot guys. Really depends on where they put Chaz at the beginning of a game, because he could play slot, or he'd be your starting slot or your starting outside left wide receiver, you know, depending on where he's lined up. So after that, it's Spencer and it's Neptune, and those two guys I feel like are pretty far ahead of Kane at the moment. That's what I see anyway. Let's see. Let's keep going. Who do you think would be the interception leader? So let's think about where do interceptions typically come from. Probably not going to be an outside wide receiver. I mean, the outside defensive back, like a corner. So probably it's going to be a safety. So who's going to be like your lurker back there that's going to make plays? I'm going to say one guy that I feel like is never going to come off the field is Eric Winters. So I'm going to say Eric Winters. He'll probably have three or four. That's what I'm going to say. Is this in this offense, the tight end doesn't really catch passes, but can you tell any difference in blocking and scheme? Difference from what? Difference from like last year's offense? I think it'd be pretty similar from a run blocking perspective. I think the formations and stuff like that will look a lot like that from the standpoint of like tight ends in the run game. They split them out a little bit. Really big help on screens and stuff like that to get quick passes to those guys in space. Soft is the new hard, says Kathy. That's good. I don't think this has to be a bad thing, Reverend. Like, no superstars. Like, you may not have that guy that's going to be, like I said, may not be a first-round pick, but that does, like, there's a lot of guys that beat a lot of folks, a lot of offenses that beat a lot of folks without having a bunch of superstars out there. What are your, for this year, Coach Cole, what are my expectations maybe to be soft, Sherman soft? A little shout out to Village Vice. Who would you rather sit next to on a plane, Daniel Denny or Cam Stewart? So I know who Cam Stewart is. Who is Daniel Denny? Y'all don't hate me. Yeah, I don't know who Daniel Denny is, so I'm going to say Cam Stewart. Or maybe I should say Daniel Denny because I do know Cam Stewart. How about that? Let's keep going. We'll do a couple more and we're going to get out of here. Do we know if that fourth quarter segment they did in spring is still going on? Do you mean the Iron Bowl period where they play Dixieland Delight? If that's what you mean, it absolutely still going on because we see periods 1, 2, and 3, and I think period 4 is the Iron Bowl period, and we heard the music come on as we're walking off the, you know, off the practice facility. So yeah, it's definitely still going on. How many game winners does Alex kick this year? I'm going to say at least one. And when I say game winner, I don't mean like when the clock hits, it doesn't have to be like when the clock hits zero, but like a field goal to put Auburn up by 1 or 3 points towards the end of a game. I'm going to say at least one. He's going to hit some big kicks, though, this year. There's no doubt about that. So what I'm hearing is there's give and take on offense and defense. That is exactly what you want to hear during fall practice. You are dadgum right, sleeping giant. And that's exactly what I'm saying. It felt like there was a lot of give and take and not just all take from the offense, just taking it. They were giving it, too. That's pretty good. Yeah, you're absolutely right on that. Haven't really seen much punting, just being honest. Auburn DC flips out after DB tries to make a tackle knowing they're too soft for stuff like that. That's a good headline. So should I have Casa Grande on my show? Hit me up in the chat. He's kind of made it known that he may want to come, you know, kind of clear the air a little bit. What do y'all think about that? Could that be fun? I think we might be getting out of here. We're going to be – Daniel Denny is a very negative Auburn fan that trolls these YouTube videos. Okay. Is he in here right now? I haven't seen him. Yeah, live Casa Grande and Kyle Rush debate. That would be funny. What will be the headline for that? What will be the title for that show if he comes on? Now, he's been pretty pro Auburn this whole fall, and he's been pretty pro goalish. I gotta give him that. What would be the headline if he comes on a show? That would be funny. All time spa tiger team, Botox Jackson, Cam Newtan, Ronnie Browlift, and Anders Carlskin. Only if I bring up the elevator story and get his take, I'll definitely do that. Auburn podcaster tries to unplug Alabama media machine. I love it. Known journalist gets into fight live with C5. That's incredible. Yeah. I'll stumble over one question and Auburn will immediately pick to finish last in the SEC. I wonder, this is no joke. I do wonder if like it probably didn't move anything on Vegas, but those Kalshi and those poly markets, you know, it's live trading and whatnot. I wonder if those quote unquote lines moved very much today after word started to get around about the, the big touchdown. Cause that stuff, like people jump on there and buy and sell. I mean, you can buy and sell 100 times between now and kickoff. All right, guys, thank y'all so much for joining. We're going to be back here again tomorrow at 2 o'clock, 2:30, something like that, after practice. I don't expect us to get another fun period like that. We might, and if we do, we'll rejoice and be glad in it 100%. But I think Golish – He dangled the carrot, gave us something to go off of, and that was completely by design for him. I don't think the play was designed or the success of the play was designed. Outcome was designed. But I think that period was in there for a reason. There was VIP guests there today. Obviously, the media period. So put something out there fun for people to talk about. Y'all have a great rest of your day. We'll talk again soon. Thank you. Make sure you like. Make sure you subscribe. Definitely take advantage of the premium membership in these chats. I'm going to try to hit the green names all first as much as I can. And then obviously the super chats as well. I mean, I definitely will pay attention to those. Y'all have a great day. We'll talk again soon.
Thanks for listening and drive home safely.